Hi, everybody. I'm Dennis Prager, and welcome to my home. Yes, this is really my home. It is not a set. Believe me, if it were a set, it would be a lot neater. And this is my fireplace, and this is my, what do you call them? English Bulldog. I always think of him as Otto. I don't think about did you getting him on the camera? Otto, say hi. Otto is now meditating on the flame. He is a meditator. Major time. Yep. By the way, my view on having pets is, do they make you laugh? That's great. Life needs laughter. That's a good subject for another time. Do you know we actually have a video at PragerU on the benefits of laughter to marriage? We have a whole video with one of the, who's the great Russian comedian? What's his name? I know him so well. Smirnoff. Huh? Smirnoff. Yakov Smirnoff. Thank you. Thank you very much. See, the more people who come to these shoots, the more information I get. It's really helpful. Anyway, great to be with you. And I will be taking questions, of course, as I always do each week. So this week, I'd like to talk to you about a subject that has confused now more and more people. It's, by the way, the confusion is partially deliberate and partially ideological. And it is a confusion about the word nationalism and how good it can be. There is a whole anti-nationalism movement in the Western world, not just in the United States. The EU, the European Union, is somewhat based on the idea that nation states are not important. What's important is some transnational, supranational identity. For example, Superman gave up his American identity. Is that Otto making noises here?
Outside.
It's outside? Okay, fine. And I'm blaming Otto. I feel very guilty. Otto, you're good. Superman gave up his American identity a few years ago. It's an amazing thing. I've mentioned this in the past, but this is truly worth mentioning again. One of the many, many, many examples of the healthier America, even though obviously there were unhealthy aspects, but the healthier America that I grew up in, Superman was a hero for us kids. Superman's motto was truth, justice, and the American way. Superman fought for truth, justice, and the American way. That is so American today that it's been abolished. He is not only is he not fighting for the American way, Superman is now not even American. That's right. In the comic strip Superman a few years ago, the guys on the left who now do the Superman comic had him announce in front of the United Nations he's relinquishing his American citizenship. He's now a citizen of the world. So why is there this terrible onslaught against nationalism? For a few reasons. Number one is ideological. The left, which is the elites of the Western world, are largely on the left, almost the entire news media of the world, and the entertainment media of the world, the artistic elite, and they, from the beginning of the left, since Karl Marx, there is an anti-national idea. Marx did not divide the world by nation. In other words, you were not a German, you were not an Englishman, you were not a Frenchman, you were not a Russian. You were proletariat or a worker, or you were in the employer, rich class. In other words, Marx divided the world, the father of leftism, Karl Marx, divided the world not by nations, but by workers, by class. Class was what mattered, and he ended his Communist Manifesto with the famous words, "Proletariat of the world, unite. You have nothing to lose but your chains." So that is basic to all left-wing thought. The nation is a bad idea. People should have a world identity or a class identity. Okay? That's one reason. So as the left gets stronger, anti-national sentiment gets stronger. Number two, this really caught on after World War I. World War I was fought by among the nations of Europe. The United States joined later in the war. And it was believed by many intellectuals that the source of World War I was nationalism. And if we just abolish that, England isn't going to fight Germany if nobody is English and nobody is German, right? So let's have Germans think of themselves less as German and more as European, and the English think of themselves as less English and more European, the French less French and more European, and so on, right? That is the thinking. It sounds, in theory, lovely. I'll explain why it isn't lovely at all in a moment. So that was a second reason for the idea that the national identity is a bad thing. But now let me tell you, well, I'll give you a third. World War II did the same thing because people identified Hitler and Nazis with nationalism. But of course, that's not true. Hitler's primary identity was not nationalistic. It was racist. He was in favor of the Aryan race. A German Aryan, quote unquote, was completely the brother, the kindred, the kin of a Dutch Aryan or a Norwegian Aryan. That so he was transnational. He was Austrian. How could he be a German nationalist? The guy was Austrian. So his thing was race-based, which is disgusting. The irony is today, the only people to honor race since the Nazis are the left. They honor race. Let's have a black dorm at colleges. Liberals are against that, and conservatives are against that. Remember, the liberal-left difference is critical. I have a whole video on it. It just takes 5 minutes of your time explaining six major differences between liberalism and leftism. Really important. So then, what's good about nationalism? Well, I'll give you an example. I suspect, sadly, that a lot of you are not aware of one of the most horrific massacres when did it take place? When was the Rwanda massacre of the Hutus massacring the Tutsis? Was it in the 90s? I think it was in the 1990s. It was like 600,000 people, if I'm not mistaken, and not by gas, and not by even shooting, by machete, mostly just cutting people up. It was horrific. You know why? Because Hutus and Tutsis had tribal identities, ethnic identities, not a national identity. One of the greatest problems confronting Africa is that so many people still primarily bond to a tribe, to an ethnicity, not to a nation. The Igbo of Nigeria were massacred terribly because fellow Nigerians didn't think of them as Nigerians. The state brought people together to a trans-tribal, trans-racial. The state doesn't care about race. Nation is not race. Racism is race. Nation is getting people together. America's motto is E Pluribus Unum. From many, one. Many races, many ethnicities, many religions. But we are all American. You can keep whatever cultural identity you want, and people do, and certainly religious identity. I went to Jewish religious school till I was 18. Half the day I studied in Hebrew. But I knew I was American. They're not in conflict, but I had something deeply in common with a Christian from Nebraska. We were both American. I have something deeply in common with a black from Alabama. We are both American. The nation is a great thing, a great thing. Of course it could be used for bad. Tell me what can't be used for bad. Religion could be used for bad. Humanism could be used for bad. No nationality could be used for bad. There is no such thing as an ideology that can't be perverted to do bad. But in its essence, there is something beautiful about it. Well, I'll give you an example. Just this week, we had the PragerU Gala, this big annual event where people come and people who donate to PragerU meet one another. And it's a very beautiful event, as I said just 30 seconds ago. Did I say it was a beautiful event? It really was. And we always have a prominent guest whom I interview. The guest in this case was the former Prime Minister of Canada, Stephen Harper. He was a Conservative Prime Minister until a few years ago. He won three elections. That's a lot in a Western country, win three elections. In a totalitarian state, you win 15 elections because you can't vote for anybody else. But in democracies, it's pretty rare to have somebody voted in that often. And he was very, very popular in Canada, and he's a Conservative. So we talked, and he said something that I loved. And he said, in passing, you know, Canada, I think it's the greatest country in the world. And I said, Mr. Prime Minister, I love that you believe Canada is the greatest country in the world. That is, everyone should believe that of their country. We have the most wonderful country in the world. And everyone should aspire to their country being the most wonderful country in the world. That's a beautiful thing. I want Canadians to celebrate Canada. And I want the Dutch to celebrate Holland and the Netherlands, the same country. I think this is that's what nationalism is about. An American nationalist is not anti-Canadian nationalist or a Mexican nationalist or a Uruguayan nationalist or Belgian nationalist. We celebrate your nationalism. That's a good thing. That's why people at the Olympics, you know, the Europeans, oh, we all were giving up our identity. We're just Europeans. Yeah, but you ever see how the fans root for their team? See the way Italians root for the Italian football / soccer team? Or the British or the Germans? And I think it's great. I want them to get excited about their national team. I like it. It's one of the reasons I am not a big soccer fan, but I always watch the World Cup. I get a big kick out of it. I like the fact that the people go there with their flags and so on. I'm not scared of flags. I'm scared of bad people. I'm not scared of flags. There's a big difference. I'm scared of no flags. Because let's just imagine there were no flags, no nations. The UN ran the world. You know how much more evil there would be in the world where all power is concentrated? One of the great things about nationalism is that power is not internationally concentrated. By the way, in America, we were founded to be a republic, not a democracy. That's why the states have so much power. The U.S. Senate is not democratic. Montana has as many senators as California, but it has, what, one-tenth the number of people, one-twentieth the number of people? Because they set it up that way. Because Montana should have a state for Montanans and Texas for a state for Texans and so on. That's a good thing because the founders of the United States did not trust people with a lot of power. Lord Acton, the famous Brit, said, power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. I don't want the UN to have world power. I don't want anybody to have world power. I don't want Brussels to have European power. That's the reason the British voted, except the elites, of course, they voted for Brexit, British exit from the EU. They wanted to be run by London, not Brussels. And the Italians feel the same thing. They want to be run by Rome, not Brussels. That's a healthy thing, not an unhealthy thing. The elites are almost all on the left, so of course they love power. They're crazy about power. In Brussels, they try to tell countries every detail of their lives. I have a German, I'm into audio equipment. I have a German, I have a lot of German electronics for my stereo system. And so it is amazing. It goes off automatically after a certain time of non-use. Because that's the way it works. You know, they care about not using more electricity than necessary. But I'm going to pay my bill. It's my business. We Americans don't... So when they make a German product or an Italian product or any European product, it has to click off of a certain time of non-use. The Brussels tells Italy how their machinery should work. I mean, it's just a little example, but life is composed of little examples. Nationalism is a beautiful thing. And there's no such thing as white nationalism. That's the irony. What is white nationalism? White is a race. How could there be white nationalism? Aren't most of the people in Iceland white? Are they part of white nationalism? Isn't that idiotic? How could you be a white nationalist? There's no white nation. There are nations composed largely of whites, but that's a separate issue. The people in Iceland don't walk around thinking, yay for white. They think, yay for Iceland. Big difference. There's no, so this notion, oh, if the president of the United States mentions nationalism, it's something about white supremacy. That's absurd. The whole point of American nationalism is that it contains people of every race. It nationalism ends race. It doesn't celebrate race. It celebrates nation. And it's a beautiful thing to have a national identity. Not just human being. What does that mean? You're a biological, a member of a biological species known as Homo sapiens? That's your identity? Yay, Homo sapiens. Who are you going to root for in the World Cup? Homo sapiens? It's preposterous. The whole thing's preposterous. And bad, morally bad. It's a beautiful thing to have nationalism. The left hates it, and that's part of the great ideological battle in America and the West. People unthinkingly go, oh, yeah, nationalism, gee, that's bad. What's bad about it? People of every different race and every different religion united as one nation? What could be more beautiful? And the power issue is a big part of it. Who are you going to give power to if it isn't diffused among states in the United States, among nations in the world? I don't want Brussels to run Europe, and I don't want the UN to run the world. That is the issue. So long live good nationalism. What's the alternative? What's the moral alternative? Okay? The case for nationalism. Oh, and by the way, it also, one more thing. I broadcast a Happiness Hour every week on my national radio show. You, anywhere in the world you're watching this, you can hear my show on the internet. It's effortless. Just put in Dennis Prager Show, and you can hear it through any of my stations I'm on, or the Dennis Prager app, or you could go to Pragertopia and get it commercial-free, pragertopia.com. So you can hear it. And on Fridays, the second of my 3 hours, I do 3 hours a day, the second hour is devoted to happiness. I devoted two in a row. I've never done that. 2 weeks in a row, I discussed the beauty for happiness of having a national identity and a religious identity. Americans historically had a very strong religious identity, most Christian, some Jewish, obviously a whole host of variations, a Catholic identity, a Mormon identity. That adds to human happiness. And so does having an American identity for Americans. There are a lot of unhappy people walking around. You could watch them, you know, screaming at the tables of politicians they don't agree with. And these are people with no identity. They're just humans. That's not an identity. That's just a biological fact. Okay, time for your questions. Press one button, press another button. Great. Oh, my God, this alone. What are we doing on time? Because I don't know how, what I talk. 15. Okay, I pretty much meet my 15 mental minutes. Megan, 25, that's the age, California. What is tolerance? God, is that important? Megan, you hit it. Critically important topic. Tolerance has been completely divested of its true meaning. Tolerance is this. If you may live a certain way or believe a certain thing, and I really don't. But nevertheless, in a civilized society, I tolerate that you do. All right? If you live a certain way of life that I don't happen to agree with, nevertheless, I tolerate it. Because what is my choice? If I want to live in a decent society, we tolerate people's living in a way that we don't object, that we object to. All right, fine. I mean, I'm not talking about murderers. You can't tolerate murderers or thieves, right? That's obvious. But that's not what tolerate means anymore. Tolerate went from tolerate to celebrate. That's different. That's different. You may, I don't celebrate certain ways of life, but I tolerate. I even may honor, but I don't necessarily celebrate. And I don't expect people to. If okay, here's one. All right, I'm just off the top of my head. Wiccan religion, right? Based on witches. Okay, I totally tolerate people being Wiccans. Not an issue. Do I celebrate it? No, I don't celebrate it. That's all. By the way, you don't have to celebrate my religion either. You have to tolerate it. You have to treat me decently. You don't have to celebrate it. That's fine. But that's what we've come to. I being a religious person, I believe that the definition of marriage should have stayed one man, one woman. And give the same rights to gays and just not calling it marriage. Marriage, for all of history, was man and woman. Or man and more than one woman, but it's always been man and woman. All right. Not only do I tolerate gays, and even married gays, my wife and I are the godparents to a gay couple's children. We love that couple. We love their children. They wanted us to be godparents, even though they know we're opposed to same-sex marriage. So I tolerate same-sex marriage, and I honor these people, and I love their children. That's fine. But I don't have to celebrate the idea of the redefinition of marriage. That's not tolerance. Celebration is not the same thing as tolerance. You're allowed to have convictions. As by the way, you might have of me. And that's fine. You're an atheist. I don't expect you to celebrate my Judaism. How could you, if you're an atheist, how are you going to celebrate my Judaism? Right? I don't expect that. But you have to tolerate it. And I have to tolerate your atheism. I don't celebrate atheism. But if an atheist is a good human being, they're my fellow American. They're my fellow human being. That's fine. I don't have an issue. But this changing from tolerance, that if you don't celebrate, you're intolerant, that's a perversion of the word. Has that been clear? Good. Next. Ashley, in AT, in Huntington, Maryland. What was your first voting experience like? I have no idea. But I do remember vividly the first time I voted Republican. I was raised, hey, I am a Jew from New York, which immediately means overwhelmingly likely I was a Democrat. And I went to Columbia University, so like I had everything reinforce that I should be a Democrat. And I was. I was a Democrat. I voted for Jimmy Carter for president. I consider that to have been a major error in my life, but I did it. Okay. The first time I voted Republican was for Ronald Reagan. All right? And I remember it was somewhat traumatic. I admit it. I am voting Republican? Isn't that going over to the dark side? That's what I had been taught my whole life. That's the dark. That the folks who care about the rich. Not the regular guy, but I was a regular guy. My parents were regular guys, although my parents were Democrats. Yeah, that's true. I think I was the first Prager in the history of all Pragers going back thousands of years to the Pragers of Mesopotamia that voted Republican. We checked. The Pragers of Mesopotamia were Democrats. Yep. All right. Next, Jacob 20, Virginia. As a music student, I've always wondered how you balance your music and political life. Any tips on how to do this myself? I don't know what you mean exactly by political life. I guess you mean your musical vocation and the rest of and your concerns in the political arena. So everybody has to figure out how to balance these things. There's no great answer. A balanced life is a good life. And look, I don't know how you try to do it. You've got to be excellent at what you do for a living, at what you do professionally. You have to be excellent. And by the way, I consider being a full-time parent a profession. Just want to make that clear. It's usually women, not always. And I personally honor a full-time mom at least as much as I do a full-time lawyer. What am I talking about? Much more. That's a separate issue. I shouldn't have said lawyer. Anyway, lawyers are used to being hated. No, 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 no. I'm joking. My wife is a lawyer, but she's full-time. She was a full-time mom when I met her. Okay, so that's what you have to figure out. But you have to care about society, and you have to care about being excellent at your work. Okay, I hope that answers you, because I don't know, it's specifically music. Look, music's a very big part of my life, but I've had to concentrate on what I do for a living. Jacob, 18, California. At what point in your life did you first consider yourself to be successful, and did it change your overall mentality? Okay, I have a very bizarre life. I totally acknowledge it. But you asked the question. I thought I was successful at a very early age because I was successful at a very early age. I was very lucky. Very, very lucky. I consider it overwhelmingly luck. I knew what I wanted to do with my life, and I was afforded opportunities to do it. And so I began lecturing, believe it or not, at the age of 21. I just come home from the Soviet Union, and I was sent around to lecture on what I saw there and about the freedom or the lack of freedom there and the situation specifically of Soviet Jews who were very oppressed and other dissidents in the Soviet and dissidents in the Soviet Union. So at a very early age, how did it change my mentality? It didn't, because I've always believed that I just have to do good with my life, and if I'm not, I'm a failure. So it didn't go to my head. It didn't have any effect like that. But I knew I was very lucky. That's it. Okay. Will Witt. I can't believe it. Will Witt sent in a question.
The nerve.
Wants to know, by the way, if you don't know Will Witt, and Will Witt is somewhat of a hit. A lot of people watch him on PragerU videos. What's your favorite onomatopoeia? What kind of question is that? Who has a favorite onomatopoeia? That's, by the way, for those of you who don't know, that is a word that sounds like what it describes. What's an English onomatopoeia? Give me an example. Because the one I want to answer is in Russian. That's the one that comes to my mind. So I'll tell you the one in Russian. So the word in Russian to snore is vskhrapivat. So it sounds exactly like vskhrapivat. See? I love it. That's an onomatopoeia. Well, what the English has it. Give me, what's an example? Buzz. Oh, yeah, there's a buzz. That's right. But I don't like that as much as vskhrapivat. It's much richer. All right, Will. You know what? Send me another question 2 years from now. That was a joke, Will. Okay. Robert, 18, Texas. What are your thoughts on states such as Texas turning purple, especially in South Texas? Look, this is a big issue. A lot of Hispanics, a lot of Latino Americans are voting for the Democrats because this is an entire subject unto itself. Because a lot believe this is what the Democrats and the left do. Why do they keep attacking white men, white men, white men, white men? Why do they attack? If you're taking insulin, it was discovered by white men. If you're, if you don't have polio, the polio vaccine was developed by a white man. I mean, it's so idiotic, this notion, white men. So why does the left do it? Because they want everybody else to think that they belong in the anti-white man party, the Democratic Party. It's a gimmick. It's just a gimmick. Oh, women, you're oppressed by men. White men in particular, but any men. And Hispanics, you're oppressed by white men. And blacks, you're oppressed by white men. Asians, you're oppressed by white men. This is the thinking. It's all politically inspired. It's drivel. It's idiotic. So, but there's been some success. The Republicans are identified with this white majority. And if you really want to be taken care of and protected, vote Democrat. But it's just not the case. We have great videos on, given by Latinos, by the way, as well as others, on Latin Americans. And we have a very simple question for Latin American immigrants to the United States. I have asked this for years. Why would you vote Democrat? Why would you want to replicate the ideology that you fled? You fled all of you who came to the U.S. from Latin America fled big government societies. And big government always means big corruption. The curse of Africa, the curse of Latin America is corruption. And they all have strong governments. That's a very terrible mistake that a lot of Latinos make. You came to the country that is the most prosperous on earth. So the question every Latino should ask is, why is it so prosperous? What ideology is different about America than Brazil or Argentina or obviously Venezuela? And that is small government. Small government is big citizen. Big government is small citizen. So the Republicans have to make this argument. Our ideology is best for everybody. And then Texas will remain as a Republican state. All right, everybody. That's pretty much it for today. So I will be with you next week. That's right, be with you next week. From my home to yours, God bless you. Thank you for watching. I'm Dennis Prager.